We're in Deuteronomy chapter 11, and we stopped about the middle of that passage last time, so we're going to pick it up there again. You know, sometimes there'll be a guy that comes into the shop, and he'll ask a question, and my answer is probably an answer that most people have heard, probably everybody. It isn't something that's just true for the haircutting business, though. Seems to apply to a surprising number of businesses as well. So we'll have a guy come in, and this happens fairly regularly, where a guy will come in, get a haircut, and he's making small talk, and one of the things he says is, "How's business?" And my answer is usually, well, it's normal business, feast or famine, you know. And if you've had a business, you've probably been familiar with that. It just seems to go up and down, and it's either feast or famine. So we're used to hearing that statement, you know. And that's exactly where the Lord has brought the Israelites at this point. He's letting them see that as you go into the land, you're going to have either those two things. Either it's going to be a feast or it's going to be a famine. And the choice is yours based on how you respond to the Lord. So in the first part of chapter 11 last time, the Lord promised them tremendous blessing for a complete obedience to Him. But He also warned them that there was going to be a curse for anything less than complete obedience. Yeah, that's a tough one. He gave them a very strong warning. He said, "Beware." And the Lord is not kidding about this. This is no joke. He's extremely serious when He's leading them into this land. You know, when you think about this, it's just kind of a side thought on one thing, but it's also an underlying foundation with this. How would you like to be those people that God has laid out His law before you? He said, "You have to obey me completely in everything. And if you don't, then you're bringing a curse on yourself." I mean, wow, the pressure of feeling that, you know? And the standard is so extremely high on that. It's like, well, Lord, what if I get in there and I'm doing okay and then I mess up? What if I do fail at something You've told me to do? I don't have complete obedience. I have wake up one day with that day of, today I just want to do things my way, you know, and our flesh wins. What happens if that occurs? Are we doomed to have this curse? Well, think about this. Like I said, this is kind of a side issue, but it's also an undergrounding foundation. If you're in that place and God gave all those directions, what do you do if you mess up? You bring a sacrifice. You bring a sacrifice. So they constantly had to bring the sacrifice because we're sinners, right? And they had to keep bringing those things. And the same with us, you know, God gives us that standard, be holy as I am holy. And wow, that's a hard one to swallow. Be as holy as the Lord. You know, what are we going to do? Because that's a high standard. It's a perfect standard. And, you know, the Lord knows the same. He knows we're sinners. But so what do we have to do? We have to bring a sacrifice. We bring the Lord Jesus Christ. And even when we mess up, the Lord told us still, you know, confess your sins, you know, that I will cleanse you again by the blood of Christ. That cleansing is a continual process from our Lord. And we're so grateful He's made that provision because we could never live up to the standard of be holy. But on the other hand, God keeps the standard there because if He lowers it at all, we try to get away as much as we could. We tried to drag that standard lower and lower and get away with all kinds of stuff. So the Lord goes so far in the New Testament to say, you know, just because grace abounds much more than your sin, should you keep sinning? And He says, absolutely not. No way. God forbid. You know, so the Lord doesn't allow us to do that. But as we get into this passage, so remember, there's grace. There's still grace, okay, through the sacrifice. But the Lord still wants us to shoot for obedience. We are not given a ticket to disobey just because there's grace, all right? So these people, when they feel the pressure of God putting this on them, that you have to live a perfect life, basically. Perfect obedience. That pressure is a good thing. It convicts us, saying, Lord, I can't do that. And Lord says, I know you need me, don't you? And it brings us back to the Lord, okay? So He's not pushing a work salvation, is what I wanted you to catch from that. He's not saying, you do all this, and then I'll let you be with me. No, we can't. He knows we fall short. But this is what He requires. He said, this is what I'm looking for. So we still hold that in front of us, okay? So we stopped last time looking at an identifying mark that the Lord said Israel was going to have when they were walking with the Lord, and it was also going to show when they weren't. Do you remember what that was? That mark was rain. Yeah. The Lord said, complete obedience is going to give you rain. The Lord will bring the rain to you and he's going to give you the rain. And if you don't obey completely, then the rain will not come. And that would mean there's no fruit, there's no crops, so a famine would follow. That's why I said from that point on, as you read in the Old Testament, as you look at the background of what's taken place, you can see where Israel is at. Are they walking with the Lord now or are they not? And sometimes you read a passage, just say, there was a famine in the land, and then it goes on and tells you the story. So it just kind of says in passing, there was a famine in the land. What does that tell you? They were not walking with the Lord at that point, okay? So the Lord sets up this marker. And if we can see it, you'd think, they should see that too, right? They should say, why are we having such a bad year of crops? Why is nothing working? And it should be, oh yeah, who gives us the rain? God. What did he promise us? Complete obedience, boom, the rain's coming. You're going to have an amazing place here. So we'll get some spiritual lessons as we take a look at this too. Because the Lord promises them feast or famine, it's their choice. Same with us in our spiritual life. Whether you want to have a life of feasting in the presence of the Lord or a very dry spiritual life, the choice again is ours. Look at Deuteronomy 11 down to verse 18. Therefore, since the Lord has told them, take heed to yourselves, lest the Lord get angry at you. He says, therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. We looked at this a few times before. The Lord was telling them, you know, I want you to have this so close to you, so much in your focus. They got to the point where they made those little things that would be on their forehead and things that would be in their arm, and that had the piece of the law there that it would remind them, you know, what they're supposed to be doing and staying close to the Lord and following his ways. But the Lord didn't want it just to be on the outside. He said, lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. So the Lord was telling them through Moses just what he's telling us today, all right? And it said it is of the utmost importance that you keep the Lord as a priority in your lives, as well as in your family's lives. He's going to talk about that too, as well here. So for each generation following, it's an utmost in priority to make sure you keep the Lord right there, okay? And because that's so important, it will not only be a very hard thing to do, but it's going to require real work for them to successfully accomplish that, and the same for us too. And that's a good wake-up for us in our America here, especially in the time we're in where we used to push in a couple of buttons in 30 seconds, it's done. It's not that easy to successfully walk with the Lord. It's going to require something on our part. We have to put effort into keeping the Lord as the focus of our life, okay? So the Lord tells them and tells us how to do that right here. So we need to take in some of these things the Lord says. In verse 19, you know, he says, here's what you're supposed to do. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. So the Lord gives some very clear statements here, what they're supposed to do, and we can learn from these. First, he said, you must put the truths of God in your own heart and in your own soul. That's what he tells them right up front here. And that means that it has to become part of your very being. All right? And how do you do that? Well, I'm glad you thought that question, because in James 1, the Lord said this, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Okay? So that implies that, first of all, we have to hear the word of God, okay, before we can do the word. So how do you hear the word? Well, you can take it in from Bible teaching, either in person, or you can take it in from the radio, from MP3s you're listening to, or wherever. But the most important way to hear it is as you read it yourself and you meditate it on the word of God yourself. You know, I remember I wandered about 9 years, I think, as an infant in Christ. When I first got saved, I just kind of listened to what everybody else was saying. I never really checked it out for myself. And finally, I got to a place where someone was teaching the Word of God very, very clearly, verse by verse, and they made this statement, don't believe this because I said it. You check it out yourself. You read it yourself. And that was such a helpful thing for me to hear, because I had just at that point just been taking what everybody else says and saying, oh, that sounds good, but I wasn't digging in myself to see. And I know when I finally stuck my nose in the Bible and started reading it myself, that's when I could see spiritual growth start to happen. And, you know, I think the Lord actually used that to give me a heart and a desire to want to teach His Word. Because I don't want anybody else wandering around for 9 years without getting into the Word themselves. So I praise the Lord. I went through that just for the sake of He really pushed me afterwards to say, don't let anybody else be there. Push them to get into the Word of God and see this for themselves so they can grow. But you know that passage in James where it said, don't be hearers only, but it also said, be doers of the Word. So hearing by itself is not good enough. We need to learn what the Bible says, but we need to obey it also. All right. Otherwise, what happens if you don't obey what you have heard and you've learned? Head knowledge without heart obedience just produces Pharisees. Okay. So if we have the head knowledge, but we don't have the heart obedience that goes with it, it's very easy to become a Pharisee. And Pharisees are kind of easy to spot, in case you wonder, how do you know if you're in that place or if other people are in that place? Well, Pharisees, they look down on and they judge followers of Christ. And you can see that as you read through the Gospels. They did it in Jesus' day and they're still doing it today. Okay, but sad to say, they may know the Word of God, but they don't do what it says themselves. So they end up being very hypocritical Pharisees. And, you know, I saw people in the ministry doing this very thing. They proclaim to be experts in knowing the Word of God, and they seem to obey it when they're in the public eye. But when they're not in the public, when they're not in front of folks, when they're back, you know, in their own environment, they did their own thing. And I saw them myself violating the scripture that they said they were upholding. So it's a very, very ugly thing when you see people that have the head knowledge, but they don't have the heart obedience that goes with it. So let me caution this point too, just like the Lord cautioned me, okay? Before we go out on a Pharisee witch hunt, don't forget that we all have a bit of hypocritical Pharisee in ourselves too. The Lord said, so let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So we want to be very careful that we don't become a witch-hunting Pharisee ourselves. We had a pastor one time when we lived out in Kansas City. He did a study on a Sunday evening series on the Pharisee in me. And man, it was a very powerful and a very convicting study, because he pointed out how we have those areas in our life too, that we tend to judge other people, we tend to look down on believers, we tend to point a finger at them and all these things, and we can be very hypocritical when we don't follow the Word of God as closely as we should. But the point is, we see the Lord giving them direction here, is that growth doesn't happen without obedience. If you want to grow in Christ, you have to obey what He has shown you, okay? So we learn the truths of the Bible ourselves. We have to learn them ourselves, take them in our own heart and our own soul, and we have to obey them, all right? So to keep the Lord as a priority in our lives, the first thing we have to do is put the truths from the Bible into our own heart and into our own soul. They have to become part of us. Now, secondly, we have to live them before our family on a daily basis. And that's what it says in verse 19. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when? When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So it says, here's how we're to teach them. What does he say? By talking about them. Yeah, and when are you supposed to do that? Every opportunity you have. The Lord makes it pretty simple here. So when we're at home, when we're away from home, when we're going to bed, when we're getting up, whenever there's an opportunity, you know, make sure you bring the truths of the Lord in the family in that setting. You know, our own kids, they were homeschooled. And sometimes I'd hear my wife say this to the kids at different times and even in different places. She would say, school is never out. And you can ask our kids, they probably still cringe when they hear that, because she still says it. She told me, I just asked her this morning, she said, yeah, I still use that statement that school is never out. See, so when you're homeschooling, you don't have to wait just for the classroom. Wherever you are and wherever the teacher's at and the students are, that's still school going on. So they might be at the grocery store and she might say something like, okay, guys, I want you to add up the price on all these items. And it just became math class, okay? And if they'd say anything, she'd remind them, school's never out, you know? And this is the same thing the Lord has for us here. The school of the Lord is never out. Never out. The truths from the Bible are things that we constantly need to live in front of our family at every opportunity. So, you know, we ask the Lord, may we teach our kids to obey the Lord. And why do we want to obey? It's because it's the love of the Lord. That's why we want to obey the Lord. Not it's just the Lord's up there with a whip cracking that thing or something. He wants us to love Him. You know, love Him with all our heart. So that includes us having to live that in front of our families. Now, the third thing he mentions is that we're to keep our focus on the Word so much that it would be as if it were written on the front of our door when we leave. It'd be written on the garage door and even inside the car. I mean, you look at verse 20. It says, "And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So as they would leave, you'd see it. As you come back, you would see it. And the Lord said, "I want my word to be so in front of you that it's like every time you leave home, you think about it. Every time you come home, you think about it." So it's like you can think of these things when you leave the house as well as anytime you're coming back. So if you're going to work, if you're going to go to the grocery store or wherever, you have your focus on the Lord. And even coming back home, when you pull back into that house that God has blessed you with to have a roof over your head. And, you know, I found a real simple way for us to do this, to keep our mind in focus there, is to simply thank the Lord. You know, you thank Him for the house when you leave. Thank Him for the house when you come home. Thank Him for the car when you get in, you know. And just a simple thank you will help you get your focus back on the Lord, because He's done so much for us. Mercy sakes, you know. He's blessed us in so many ways. And we definitely need to say thank you, Lord. Now, if we do those things that the Lord says, okay, and those are hopefully real practical for us to think of, how can I do this? How can I get the Lord more in front of me? How can I focus more on Him? Because I want to see this feast in my life spiritually. I want to be spiritually filled, you know, with the Lord and what He's doing. The Lord tells us the same thing here, what they can expect if they will take that priority of keeping the Lord right there in their lives. And that's in verse 21. He says that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. Wow. Lord says, here's what you can expect. That you're going to have a long life in this land. Your children will have a long life in this land. But it won't be just living in a location. This is a place that was a gift from God. His presence is there. He says it's the place the Lord swore to your fathers to give them. And what a beautiful picture. Think of this. Like the days of the heavens above the earth. What do you think those days are like? Wow. Presence of the Lord. No hindrance. No distraction. Also, how long do you think those days last? Forever. Wow, what God was offering them. And He offers the same to us, that our days will be blessed with His presence all the days of our lives, like the days of the heavens above the earth. You know, and you know what's interesting? The Lord promises in Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." So to have our mind stayed on the Lord, it means that we will trust Him at all times, and in every circumstance. Now, it's obvious that it takes time for us to learn how to do this, okay? At the Wednesday night study, we looked at the disciples waking up Jesus during that bad storm that arose while He was taking a nap in the boat. And He responded to them by saying, "Ye of little faith." So this was something they hadn't learned yet, to trust the Lord Jesus in every circumstance, you know? It is something we have to learn. They learned it eventually, took time, and takes time with us too. All right, so don't beat yourself up over that. But the interesting thing to me is, they had Jesus right there in a boat with them. You know, we might say, man, how could you guys do that? He was right there. Where is He with us as believers? He's in us, man. He's right there. He's in our boat. He's in our life, right? So don't beat yourself up if you're not there yet. But on the other hand, make sure you keep training yourself. Keep your mind focused on the Lord, trusting in Him, because He is ultimately in control. Okay? And we don't have to be afraid of our circumstances or situations either, because the Lord's there. He's with us. Okay? So the Lord says, this is what you can expect if you'll do what I tell you. The presence of the Lord filling your life. Ooh, sounds good. Verse 22. For if you carefully, there's a word to mark, if you carefully keep all these commandments, which I command you to do, and notice He puts in there, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to hold fast to Him, hold tight to the Lord. Okay, and the Lord's going to do some stuff. But think about this. The Lord says we have to be careful to obey. Now, why does He tell us that? Because it's easy for us to slip up. Man, we have to be careful to stay so close to the Lord. And this is one of those things that takes work. The Lord said we have to be careful to do this. Now, Hebrews 12:1 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. So the Lord says there in that passage, there are things that get in our way. He calls them weights. Okay? And these are things that aren't really sin, but they're distractions that can take our eyes off of Jesus. And it's almost as if the Lord were saying, if there's anything going on in our lives that we're involved in, that we can't ask the Lord to be involved in with us, or at least thank Him for, then it's probably a distraction because it's taking our eyes off of Jesus. You know? And you might say, wait a minute, that's asking a lot. I think I can think of a lot of stuff I do in my life that I really don't invite the Lord in, or I don't say thank you for. Well, you're saying that's asking a lot. You know what it is? But it's not me doing the asking. It's Jesus, the one who died for us. You know, He gave it all for us, and He is asking us to make a real hard effort to stay close to Him. Well, if that's not enough, you know, the Hebrews 12 passage also says that there are these sins which so easily ensnare us. Wow, did you hear that? It says they easily trip us up. They easily slow us down from staying close to Jesus. And I was thinking, it's kind of like we're driving down this highway where Jesus wants us to go, and the highway is called the Narrow Road Highway for those of you who are sticklers on detail. But we're driving down this highway, and we keep taking these exit ramps that say, sin exit number 127, you know? And these exit ramps obviously lead us to a place of sin. You know, and what might take us a few hours normally to get to some place might actually take us years if we're not careful. So the Lord says, be careful how you obey Him. Wow. Now let me ask you, has anybody ever had those weights in your life, those distractions? You know, how about those sins that lead you off the narrow road highway? You know? And what does the Lord tell us to do with these things? He says, lay them aside. That means ditch them. get rid of those things. Okay? Now, the Lord said to the Israelites, in their lives, if they were carefully obeying the Lord, out of love, then here's what they would expect. And we're going to see it right here in the passage. So, the first thing is in verse 23. He said, then the Lord will drive out all the nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourselves. I mentioned this before. They're going to win battles they should not have won because they were outnumbered. They were outgunned. They just didn't have what it would take normally to defeat them. But the Lord said, I'm going to drive all of them out before you, and you're going to take their land from them. You're going to dispossess their land. So the first thing you can expect, again, if you're willing to be careful to obey the Lord, we can expect to see God do amazing things in our life. Just like they were going to expect God to do amazing things in their life. Can you imagine? They're going to go against this army, and you see these guys, and you've heard the stories about them. They're ruthless. You know, they're dangerous people. They have amazing weapons, and you really don't stand a chance. But you've got the Lord. And to think, God, you're going to have to do this, and He does. He just wipes them out. And it's like, wow. Yeah, so the Lord's going to do stuff in our life too. We will see Him do amazing things. And we've seen His hand. You know, we praise Him for stuff that just blows our mind as we say, thank you, Lord. But we've got to be careful to obey Him to really catch those things that are going on. The second one is in verse 24. Another thing you can expect here, if you're careful to follow the Lord. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river the river Euphrates, even to the western sea, shall be your territory. So secondly, they could see their land increase. Now for us, that means we're going to see spiritual growth in our lives, which means we can minister to people more effectively. Because you see, we're supposed to grow spiritually to be better servants for other folks. Yeah, the Lord wants us to grow, and it's not just for ourselves that we look in the mirror and say, wow, look how spiritually strong I am. Look at my spiritual biceps or anything. You know, that's not the point. The point is, the Lord said, I've strengthened you spiritually, so guess what? Help somebody else. Serve them. See what needs you can meet to strengthen their walk in the Lord. Yeah, so the Lord promises these folks that will get that expanded territory, if they follow him closely or careful to do that. The third thing he mentions is verse 25. No man shall be able to stand against you. Now think about that. Nobody. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all the land where you tread, just as he has said to you. So third, they could stand their ground against anybody. You know, it wouldn't matter if they were going to face a giant or if they were going to face a powerful king. It didn't matter. They could stand their ground against anyone. And David proved that, right? Later on, man, that giant was nothing for him. He's just a small boy with some stones. He says, that's all I need. Give me God and I'm good. Yeah, so it didn't matter. For us, that means that we're going to see victory in spiritual warfare. The enemy won't be able to stop us, no matter what tactics he uses against us, if we're careful to obey the Lord. Okay, Ephesians 6 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So the enemy cannot stop you if you're following the Lord as closely as you should. Now, in verse 26, he says, behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. Here's that feast and famine. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and in the curse, in verse 28, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods which you have not known. Now, we each have a choice. No one can make that choice for us. We're going to worship something, the Lord tells us here. If it's not the Lord Almighty, then it's going to be something else. And unfortunately, most of the world chooses the something else. And that's sad. Verse 29 goes on, now it shall be, when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you go to possess, the Lord's going to bring you in, that you shall put the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. So the Lord was going to give them a very visible reminder of these things, and we're going to see that later on in our studies, Lord willing, but the Lord will describe that more. It actually happened in Joshua's day. He did this, he obeyed the Lord in this, and we'll get a chance, like I said, Lord willing, to catch that later. But the Lord was going to let them be reminded of this in a very visible way. He's going to have them use some mountains and have them stand in the valley between them to show there is this blessing from the Lord or there's this warning of a curse. And it's your choice. You come down then to... where did we get off here? I lost my spot. Yeah, I'm sorry. And goes on in verse 30 then. Are they not on the other side of the Jordan toward the setting sun in the land of the Canaanites who dwell in the plain opposite Gilgal besides the terebinth trees of Moreh? So the Lord's saying, you're going to get this visible sign, but you got to go on the land to see it because it's over there. And Moses is telling them, it's in that place. And God's going to take you in. You're going to see that. Okay? So it'd be a very visible thing for them to notice. Now, verse 31. For you will cross over the Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and you will possess it, and you will dwell in it. Now, who's telling him this? Moses is telling him. Moses knows that he won't be there. That's got to be tearing at his heart. You know, I think it probably came out in his voice when he said, you guys are going to go in there. So, you know, his heart is saying, guys, God's blessed you so much. You're going in the land. I don't get to go in, but you guys are going in. Man, enjoy that place. Do everything God tells you so you can fully experience the blessing God has for you there. So Moses said, you guys are going to go in. And in verse 32, and you shall be careful. There's that word to mark again. You shall be careful to observe all the statutes and the judgments which I set before you today. Okay? So, you say, don't pick and choose. Don't be wishy-washy. Fully commit to the Lord. Fully follow Him. And obviously, when you fail, what do? You bring the sacrifice. For you and I, when we fail, go back to the cross, man. Go back to the cross. Okay? Now remember, as we looked at this passage here, the Lord said that if Israel obeyed, they would get the rain. All right? If they didn't obey completely, then they'd have a famine. It's that feast or famine. And it's the same for us. So you know, we say, Lord, keep us from having to experience the famine in our spiritual walk with you. We want the rain of obedience in our lives. So we're going to stop at this point in our study. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to receive Jesus. He's the starting point. He has paid for your sins already on the cross. It's already done. Jesus said, He went to the cross, and when He finished all the work, He said, it is finished. He paid it completely is what that phrase means. So you don't have to do anything to get right with the Lord. You just have to receive Christ because He already did it for you. And God says He raised Jesus from the dead to prove He accepted that sacrifice. So the gospel is very simple. Jesus died for your sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day. And He says, receive Christ. Receive what He did for you. Believe He died in your place. And your sins are washed away forever. And we praise the Lord for that. If you're a believer today, the Lord knows we struggle. The Lord knows His requirement for us is complete obedience. He also knows that we fail from that. And the enemy sometimes pulls us down. Sometimes it's our own flesh. But you know, the Lord says, get back, go to the cross. Get back on your knees. Come back, you know, get that cleansing from the Lord. Get back up, put the armor on, man, and go back to the fighting and stand against the enemy. Stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. God promises such a rich life with Him, man. We just need to get to the place of obedience, and we've got to be careful. You know, when the warfare kicks up, I know from experience, if we're not careful, we're in trouble, man. We're in trouble. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. We're going to be ensnared. You know, the Lord warns us about that. So if you've had that warfare this very week, this very day, the Lord says, I can take care of that. Come to the cross right now and just confess it to the Lord. Get free from it. Thank Him for His cleansing work. Give Him all the praise. Let's pray. Father, I don't know what You're doing in people's lives and hearts this very moment, but Lord, I know as we walk through this life, we need our feet washed, Lord. We get dirty. If anyone's here today, Lord, and we have stumbled this week, we got those dirty feet and Jesus needs to wash them. I pray, Lord, help us to just say, Jesus, I confess that what I've been doing was wrong. I thank You, Lord, for Your cleansing work that You promised to just clean me up again and get me clean before You, Lord, so I can enjoy that beautiful presence of walking with You. Father, I pray You do that work in people's lives and hearts today. And Father, if there's someone here today who's never humbled himself to admit they're a sinner and they need Jesus, I pray today, Lord, just wake them up. Help them see, Lord, that they need their sins forgiven. They don't want to face the lake of fire for all eternity. They want to be set free completely in Christ. Help them, Lord, today to humble themselves and say, I need Jesus. And I thank You, Jesus, that You died on the cross for me. Please come into my life and use my life for Your glory. Please guide me and lead me. Father, for anybody here who's prayed that, I just ask You to bless them in their heart. I pray that You just give them the joy of the Lord. Let them know that You've lifted that burden of sin from them. Father, any believer that's here today, I pray the same, that we just feel that freedom in Christ. You love us, Lord. We're in the very center of Your love. And we thank You for that, Lord. We just cannot praise You enough. We just thank You so much. Lord, help us now just to have that closeness with You, that as we close with our final praise song, that it just be an open message of love to You. We thank You and give You all the praise, all the honor, all the glory, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.